Lord, we welcome you in this place and everything that you have for us. And we just submit ourselves to you tonight. And we, we just choose right now, Papa, to put our foot forward into 2012 in partnership with you to say, Papa, that we want to walk this year step by step with you. God, we've had many years before this one, some of them good, some of them bad, some bearing good fruit, some bearing bad fruit. But Papa, we declare over 2012 that this is going to be a year of good fruit, and this is going to be a year of partnering with you and submitting to you. Papa, we want to be submitted to you. We declare in this place that we are not your advisors, that we are not your ruler, we are not your father, we are not your king. And we declare we are submitted to you, Papa. Yeah. You are also not our supernatural ATM machine that we are going to abuse. But Papa, you are an incredible provider and such a loving father. And Daddy, we just want to do this year partnered with you. All right. So we got a theme for this year, as we do most years. We watched a video last week, which if you guys weren't here for, you can actually check it out. I'm pretty sure it's on our webpage. If you go to our webpage, you'll be able to follow me and check it out. And what it is, it's our senior pastor of all the Catch Fire churches here in Toronto, and he's talking about our vision, our theme for this year, and where that's come from. For those of you who weren't here, what we're really feeling for this year as our theme is expanding your kingdom by pursuing your presence. So expanding your kingdom by pursuing your presence. Why don't you guys say that with me? Expanding your kingdom by pursuing your presence. Alright, so in that phrase that we use, whose kingdom is it?
His.
Alright, so say the phrase with me.
Expanding your kingdom by pursuing your presence.
All right, it's really important that we're talking about God, but you're saying your kingdom, right? Why? Because it's personal. This is not mine and Noelle's theme for the year. This is actually all of us as a church body. Okay, the church is referred to as a body throughout the Bible. That's not a surprise to you guys. And there's a reason for that, because we're all part of it and we play a part in it. Okay, so this isn't just our theme for this year. This is why we're going to be talking about this a lot. This is not our first week on it. I'm going to highlight some of the things, and then we're going to dive in the next few weeks more and more. But this is actually for all of us. It's why it's phrased personally, because this is something we want to see for each and every one of you doing. This isn't to grow our kingdom or anything like that. It's not like growing because of being around us or anything like that. It's not watching us do it. It's not watching us expand God's kingdom by being in his presence. It's not us being some sort of medium for you guys that you can connect with God through us. That's not what it's about. It's about each and every person in here making a choice to see the kingdom of God grow by pursuing presence with God. Okay. Two main parts to this. Kingdom and presence. Let's talk about the kingdom. The kingdom shows up a lot in the New Testament, especially in the Gospels. Last year, one of the things that God had challenged me was to read the Gospels a lot more frequently. And this, you know, not always, I love the Gospels, but they're not always my preference when I just want to like dive into the Bible and start studying something. I don't necessarily gravitate there. And God really challenged me to get into the Gospels, read them much more frequently. I was reading them some different ways. So I like to really study Scripture when I'm reading it. So read commentaries about it, go back and study some of the original words and what they mean, and try to unpack all that. But God, I really felt challenged to actually go through and read it less like that, read it out of order, read it in order, read it in chronological order, read it in the order that they were written, all that. For those of you who don't know, sorry, Damien, Gospels are the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They are four accounts of Jesus' life. So it's cool, but in doing that, I started highlighting stuff, and I highlighted so many times the line that had to do with the kingdom, because it comes up over and over and over again, and you're going to start to get a sense of that. I was really starting to wonder, you know, I wonder what it's like for the people at this time. We hear the kingdom of God a lot in the church that we're growing up in now, but back in that culture, what would it be like to hear people talking about the kingdom all the time, especially when they have the natural kingdoms is really how a lot of things function then. First person that we see in the Gospels talking about the kingdom a lot is John the Baptist. In Mark 1 verse 15, we've got one example of this, but he says this a number of times. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." Okay, so what did he say about the kingdom? Okay, for those of you who didn't answer, that was Mark 1, verse 15. You can flip there now. There will be a quiz later. Okay, he said the kingdom is near. Good concept. Shortly thereafter, we get a second character on the scene who shows up. Any of you know who it is? Nobody said that with conviction. That was awesome. It's Jesus. Yeah, a number of other people did show up to get baptized too. It's okay. Many different answers. Many different characters do show up after John the Baptist in the New Testament. It's okay if you weren't convicted about saving Jesus. But it was Jesus. He shows up. And Jesus has a little bit of a thing to say about the kingdom as well, which you'll see repeated many times throughout the Gospels. But in this example, it's in Luke 17, verse 20 and 21. He says, I'm having some technical difficulties with my digital Bible today. Yeah, so can somebody with a Bible look that up for me, Luke 17, 20 to 21? I just realized that part of the formatting is cut off here. Excellent. Sorry, thank you, Rory. Yes, that was wonderful. All right. So, in verse 20 it says, "Now when Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you.'" Or as it says in the new NIV, it says, "The kingdom of God is now here." Thank you, Rory. Appreciate that. Okay, so what does Jesus say about the kingdom?
It's right here now.
It is now here. It is within us. All right. And you know what? The kingdom was actually something that Jesus spoke on frequently. Okay, it wasn't just like, oh, Jesus, yeah, I remember Jesus said something about that kingdom that one time. No, in fact, Jesus, this is something that came up over and over and over again, and he's discussing the kingdom, and his timing was different, you see, from John the Baptist. John the Baptist, the kingdom is near. Jesus, the kingdom is now here. At another point in Luke 9:11, says that about Jesus, he welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those needing healing. Okay, Jesus loved to talk about the kingdom of God. It was one of those passion subjects where when somebody came and wanted to talk about the kingdom of God, Jesus was happy to do it. Why? Because it's important. Okay, so not only did Jesus like to talk about the kingdom, Paul also liked to talk about the kingdom. Paul writes a good portion of the New Testament. And in Acts 19, we see an example, verse 8, where Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. 3 months. Okay? He was passionate about this. Why? Because it's important. Okay, what is the kingdom? I'm going to give you guys a little snapshot view of it. We're going to talk more about this next week. The kingdom is that God has come to earth. 2 weeks? We're going to talk more about that in 2 weeks. The kingdom is that God has come to earth in the person of Jesus. Okay? Jesus brings all the benefits of heaven for those who believe. These benefits, if you guys don't know. Salvation, healing, deliverance, freedom. This is a glimpse of what Jesus brings. Okay, if you guys read through, you know, Revelation, for example, is a great book where there's a lot of talk of some of the glory of heaven. And what Jesus is saying, the kingdom is now here, what he's saying is that glory that awaits us in heaven is actually accessible now. There's a reality, yes, we're not living in heaven right now, exactly as it will be, but the things of heaven are actually accessible to us now. Okay, the anointing is for now, the gifts of the Spirit are for now. Everything that was promised, that was coming, was actually made accessible when Jesus came. Jesus is a game changer. Right? That was the time frame when it changed. When was the kingdom near?
When Jesus almost came.
Thank you. So the kingdom was near when John the Baptist was baptizing people. John the Baptist was doing this before Jesus had started his ministry. Okay? So the kingdom was near before Jesus had started his ministry. And then, boom, Jesus shows up on the scene. He gets baptized by John. Dove comes down from heaven. God declares, "This is my son whom I'm well pleased." Jesus starts speaking that the kingdom of God is now here. And so it's in that place. So there's lots in the Bible that happens before that. And so sometimes we can look at the Bible and say, "Oh, no, I don't see that happening. I don't see the accessibility of the kingdom of God because I don't see it in the majority of the Bible." Well, that's true. In the majority of the Bible, we don't see it happening like that. And then Jesus showed up and changed things. So that's good. It's good news. All right, so that's the kingdom overview. We want to expand his kingdom, right? Expanding your kingdom by pursuing your presence. We want to expand your kingdom, God. So what do we do? What does that really mean? What does that look like? How does the kingdom expand? For us, it means we need to believe that it's a reality. We need to... The kingdom... It's one thing if I talk about an expansion of Buckingham Palace, right? You could see that kingdom expanding because you can see it very practically, tangibly. It's easy to just say, yes, it's expanding. It's a fact. It doesn't take a lot of level of belief for that. However, with the kingdom of God, it's a little bit different, and we need to actually believe that it's a reality. We need to believe in the reality of the kingdom of God in order to see it expand. Quite frankly, if we ourselves don't believe that the kingdom is now here, then it's going to be very difficult for us to actually see how the kingdom, which is here, is expanding. It's a matter of perspective, but it is a very life or death matter of perspective. It is two extremes that will completely change history for ourselves. The difference between believing that the kingdom of God is now here or not. And so we need to first believe that it's a reality, that the things of heaven are accessible now. Secondly, we need to engage in that reality. It's easy to say, "I believe in a reality. I believe that God is my heavenly Father." It can be easy to say that, especially if we hear it over and over and over and we hear stories about it, we read books about it. It can be easy to start to believe that. And that's a good thing. But we can't stay there because we actually need to engage in that reality so we can experience it for ourselves. And as we engage in that reality, it's going to actually solidify what we believe about that reality. And then it's going to be at such a place in our lives that we just function out of that reality all the time, and it's hardly even a matter of belief anymore because it's so ingrained in us. And when we're at that place of engaging in the reality of the kingdom that is around us and is here right now, when we are engaging with that on an everyday basis, people around us take notice. That is where the kingdom starts to expand. Christianity is currently the fastest growing religion in the world. It's got, currently Christianity claims about 2.18 billion believers, so about a third of the world's population. And at this rate, by 2050, Christians would outnumber Muslims 3 to 2. Okay? That is right. Kingdom expansion is definitely happening. It is a reality. Like, I'm not here to convince you. I'm not saying you need to believe in this new reality that, because if we don't believe in it, it won't come into existence. The truth is, it's already happening. It's already a reality, whether you believe it or not. The question is, are you going to be part of it? Alright, so, being part of it. Let's talk, what's the second part of our theme for this year? Presence, yes. We are expanding your kingdom by pursuing your presence. That means we need to be in God's presence. That's how we be a part of it. We be a part of it. Alright. His presence. Why don't you guys flip to Psalm 27:4? You can also make a note of this. If you didn't bring a piece of paper to write on, I'm pretty sure you probably have a cell phone with a note-taking capability. Just write down Psalm 27:4. So you're probably going to want to go back to this verse. Go over it a few times. It'll mess you up in a good way. Okay, it says, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only thing do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. So that's a cool verse. I don't know whether it seems like much to you on first glance. I've read that verse over a bunch of times without it ever jumping out at me. But it's cool that this is the cry of, like, this one thing. If there's just one thing that I could have, it would be to dwell in your house. It would be that I would gaze on your beauty, Lord, and that I would seek you in your temple. That is the one, if I could only have one thing, that would be the thing. And that's the cry of this psalm. It's a good cry. I think too often we take that lightly. Right? We take it very, very lightly. Like, no, God, I don't want to choose just one thing. I'd rather not prioritize. I want you to just give me everything I want. So I say about that supernatural ATM machine, right? It's really easy to fall into that kind of spirit and that approach to God. God, you're a big God, give me what I want. God, you're a good God, do what I say. Especially if we grew up in a family where we could manipulate our parents that way, it's really easy to fall into that sort of approach to God. But you know, David, a psalmist, who's writing this, and he's the one man in the Bible referred to as a man after God's own heart. This is what his heart is. This is David's heart, is not, God, give me everything I'm asking for, give me everything I want. It is, if I were to ask you for one thing, if there is one thing that I would want, it would be to dwell in your house, to gaze upon your beauty, to seek you in your temple. So how do we do that? How do we come to that place? What does that look like? What does that mean? Big thing? It's a very small thing, and at the same time a very big thing, is that we give our time, our efforts, and our hearts. Something that's really, really interesting about that verse, okay, there's three major verbs that jump out in that, at least in this translation. The first one is dwell. Okay? Do you know what really defines the word dwell? Do you guys know what the word dwell means? Means to live. Okay? It's interesting because I think we all have this sort of like general idea of what dwell means, and we read the verse and we're like, okay, yeah, that's cool. But what the word dwell actually means is dwell implies being in a place for an extended period of time. Right? Because you can dwell in a coffee shop. You can dwell in your mind on something. The importance of dwell is not actually that you live there. It's not actually that it's your place of whatever, your traditional home, so to speak. what really defines the word dwell is that you spend extended time either dwelling on something or dwelling in something. Right? So what David is saying is like, I actually want to spend my time with you. The word gaze, he wants to gaze upon his beauty. Right? We want to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. What defines the word gaze? It is that it's different from a look. It's different from a glimpse. He doesn't want to glimpse the beauty of the Lord. He doesn't want to look at the beauty of the Lord. He wants to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord because that implies his eyes lingering. His extended period of time of looking. Right? And then to seek. He wants to seek the Lord in his temple. What really defines the word seek is initiative. Right? Seek is the I'm stepping out on the journey to find something. It's not even the action of finding it in the end. It's the initiative of starting that journey and taking ownership over that. Right? He's not even saying, God, that you would show me you in the temple. It's that I would actually seek you in the temple, that I would have the initiative to pursue you because I know what that's worth. So we give God our time, our efforts, and our heart. We seek to communicate with God. It's another way that we pursue his presence. And you know what's cool about communication is that in our day and age, we can often forget what communication is really meant to be. And it's cool when you look at words and look back to what their like original meaning may have been and then how they end up on like dictionary.com now. But the word communicate is really about an exchange. Right? It's about a back and forth. When you communicate with someone, you give something to them and you take something away. Right? And they give something to you and they take something away. That's communication. That's an exchange of communication. So many times with God, we can fall into this place of, you know what, I'm telling you everything about me and I'm done. It's not an exchange. Nothing's really happened there. I haven't taken any time to receive from God. It's not communication, and we're breeding a culture of that right now with Facebook and email and text messaging where it's like we don't actually have to have an exchange. It's much more we can create things that are one-sided now. Just I can just shoot off what I want, when I want. At some point I'll get something back, but it doesn't really matter when in my timing I can just do my end of things. It's not really an exchange. It doesn't take relationship to do that. And it's not real communication. And so God is looking for us to actually communicate with him. And we're looking to seek his closeness. Right? We want to seek God actually, like, we don't want to just know about God. We want to actually know God. We don't want to just hear about experience of God, but actually experience those things for ourselves. All right. So, it's funny how when God challenges us to something, often the directive that he gives, or the push that he gives for us, he kind of lays things out, seems really, really simple. And we're like, no, that couldn't possibly lead to any sort of breakthrough or life-giving experience because it's so easy. But then, at the same time, it's when rubber hits the road, it gets difficult to walk these things out. Expanding the kingdom isn't just going to happen in our heads. It's going to take us actually living an intentional life and doing some intentional things. may start in our heads, though. That's my notes, too. Let's start with, in order to expand the kingdom, we need to think like the kingdom, like heaven is here. Okay? We need to start thinking like heaven is here now. Because when we think like heaven is here, we're going to start to walk out the second step, and that is we talk like heaven is here. I have to constantly remind myself, as I go through my week, okay, I have a fairly normal week. This past week I started a new job, and so my week was like even more normal than it usually is. Fairly set schedule. Had to catch TTC in the morning, go sit at a desk, answer phones, answer emails, have my lunch break, do more of that, catch TTC home. It's a fairly normal week, okay? In the midst of that, I was really, it was an interesting week because it's been a while since I've had sort of a set schedule like that and some of those regular occurrences like having to wait for a bus. And it was a great opportunity for me to really test myself in this. Because when things happen like the bus doesn't show up on time, it's really easy for me to get upset about that. That's probably my first reaction, if I'm completely honest. Upset. Secondly, insecure. I'm going to be late for work. Especially on my first week, even more insecure because I'm going to be late for work and they don't even know my character yet, and so this is going to really show poorly on my character that I'm late for work. And then, like, third, I love to blame. I don't know if any of you guys do that, but then I'm going to blame. Well, it's not even my fault that I'm going to be late. It's of course it's TTC's fault and it's everybody else's fault. Really, it's the options are limitless once you go onto the blame slope. And it's cool because this week I've been really trying to check myself in that. I've learned in the past that the foundation I lay when I start a job is what I build upon. So if I lay a foundation of miserableness, because the first week is hard, which can often be the case in a new job. If I lay a foundation of miserableness, I'm going to grow on that foundation all the way through, and I get a couple years into the job, and I'm like, I'm really miserable in this job. Wow, I never noticed that before, even though I've been building it for myself all the way along. So I've been asking Holy Spirit to help me check these things. And what the question that's kind of come up a few times this week is like, what is the reality of the situation? And it's amazing how insignificant just about anything in my day really is. When I think of like the reality that the kingdom of heaven is here and that there's like, when that bus finally gets here, there's going to be all sorts of people on that bus that I'm going to have the opportunity to share love with God with. Or potentially today is the day that I get on the bus and there's a crippled person there that I'm going to pray for and see healed. None of that happened this week, so you know. I don't have a crazy story to share, but the reality is that like, this is what I love about God, is that he takes the little things, he doesn't even have to do a huge thing with it, he can just do a little shift inside of us and get us on the right track. And so what Holy Spirit started to do with me every day is be like, what's the reality? What's the reality of this? Just touch base with me. Where am I at in this right now? And in that place, I was able to really transition my attitude to start to think, like, where are supernatural opportunities here? Where are the supernatural opportunities throughout my day? Where is the kingdom of heaven throughout my day? What am I doing? What am I doing to usher the kingdom of heaven into this place? You know, it was cool when I started my job this week. This is probably the first place I've ever worked where I look around and see lots of amazing people who have good attitudes and are really hard workers. Most places I've worked, that has not been the case. And so, it's interesting because it actually really kicked me in the butt. Because who knows, it's easy to be the light of Christ when you're in a place where there's just like crap all around you. Right? It's easy, like the standard is so low that anything that you do, people are like, there's something different about you. Jesus to show you a little bit of light in this place. It's a joke. I do need Jesus. Still. But now I'm in a place where it's like, okay, you know what? There's a lot of people here with good character. Okay, but we don't come to church on Sunday just to grow good character. It's a byproduct of knowing Jesus and walking in relationship with Him is that, like, Jesus just will grow good character when you submit to Him. That's a byproduct, and that's a good thing, but that's not the goal of why we're here. There's a supernatural life that we're called to be living, and we actually need to look for the opportunities. So my butt was kicked this week because I looked around and saw good character. And now I'm like, okay, God, so now we really need to just be walking in the supernatural because character is not going to cut it here. More testimonies to follow. Finally, so we start to think like heaven is here. We're going to talk like heaven is here. And then we're going to act like heaven is here. Okay, we need to act like heaven is here. Okay. Yep. I'm going to leave it at that. Give you stories other day. And then pursuing His presence. Okay, just wait. Before I go on to that, I just want to make sure. Action items for expanding His kingdom. I just gave you three of them. First is think like heaven is here. Second is
talk.
Talk.
Like heaven is here.
Like heaven is here. Third is
act like heaven is here.
That's good. Okay. Pursuing His presence. First, we need to think like He is here. Second, we need to talk like He is here. And then we need to live like He is here. Now, I'm not talking He is here at El Macombo when you come in on a Sunday. I'm talking He is here. He's also over here. Okay? I'm fortunate enough to have an empty cubicle beside me at work, so He's right there. I can look over. Jesus, what's up? If you guys drive, I used to do this when I was like driving on a daily basis to work, and that was I always cleared the front seat of my car, always, so that I could have conversations with Jesus while I drive. Is the first step. Was thinking, right? Like, that's what it is. When I'm clearing the front seat of my car to leave room for Jesus, I'm thinking like He's here. Then when I'm driving along and I start to talk to Him, you know, I'm talking like He's actually here. Jesus, what do you want to listen to? You can start off like that. Honestly. Finally, when I start to do that, like, that was back when I had a 20-minute drive to work every day. I spent 20 minutes just talking with Jesus in the morning, out loud, conversation. You better believe that when I show up at work, after 20 minutes of doing that, that I'm going to start to, that I was living like He was with me on the line. I'd look down the assembly line, and yeah, I'd see my coworker, but I'd also see Jesus on the line with me. And that changes the way that we live when we know that He is with us. It makes other things minuscule. So let's stand up. The Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
And that's good. I didn't even say repeat after me. Holy Spirit, we want to be a body that is expanding Your kingdom because we are pursuing Your presence. God, we don't want to be slaves who go out and just do Your work not without knowing You, but we want to actually be so passionate because we know You, because we pursued Your presence, that we just naturally live a different life that expands Your kingdom. God, we declare that You are ruler over Your kingdom. It is not about our wants, our needs, our desires, Papa, but instead in this place right now, we choose to line our needs and our desires and our choices with You and Your kingdom. We choose to set Your kingdom as the priority. And Papa, we declare that we want to linger in Your presence. Our time is not wasted when it's spent on You. Let us be a body that spends our time and our effort on you. God, let us count all other things as lost compared to spending our time on you. So if you guys are with me on this, let's just declare, I want to expand your kingdom.
I want to expand your kingdom.
By pursuing your presence.
By pursuing your presence.
Amen. Bless you guys. Please fold up your chairs, put them up against the wall, and have your conversations outside.